is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss and Ian Geis are here with me. About 20 years ago, I met a guy by the name of Rob Becker, who was a stand-up comedian who had worked up a solo show into a big theatrical production called Defending the Caveman. And he was doing it in comedy clubs and then worked it up from comedy clubs into mid-sized theaters. And then eventually he took it to Broadway, where it became the longest-running solo play in Broadway history. And in fact, the street where that Broadway theater was for a while was actually renamed Caveman Way, because he had done Defending the Caveman there for so long. And then Rob decided that he had had enough of the caveman and also decided this was a very lucrative piece of property that he owned. And so he sold it and said, let other people do this. And then that's where today's guest comes in. His name is Kevin Burke. Kevin has kind of taken over the role more than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
He has done it more than 4,000 times. He did it in Las Vegas for over a decade.
Still there.
Still doing it there. Back in Vegas now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was named the Entertainer of the Year, what, two, three times
yep.
in Vegas? And now he's here in St. Louis doing it for a four-week run, and 4 weeks only, at the Playhouse at Westport Plaza, which is right across the hall from the KTRS studios here at Westport. And it's good to see you again.
You know, other than saying get your tickets at MetroTix.com, there's nothing I really need to say. Thanks
right.
for having me
Thanks
on the show.
Thanks for coming in. All right, next.
Yeah, Rob Becker actually hired me to replace himself on the Broadway tour.
Is that right?
Yeah, he realized that he could make just as much money sending another guy out to do it, and he could just sit at home in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you've done this thing so many times.
Yeah, since 2003, over 4,000 performances.
So I saw you do it at the Fox
yeah.
in what was that, 04,
Something
05,
like
somewhere
yeah.
around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right in there, yeah.
And you were terrific in the
you.
Show then, and I'm sure you still are. Dan went to see you last night. Is he still terrific in the show?
Yeah, he was still terrific. And I have to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised because I had seen the... I've never seen it before. And I saw the commercials before for it, and I thought it's a comparison between men and women, and the commercials I thought were a little milquetoast, and I thought, oh, these jokes aren't that good, and but the show itself is very, very
so
funny.
So what you're saying is that Kevin should fire the ad agency. That's what that sounded like to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So the editor.
Cut. Exactly. The editor, and we should you should hire us, and we will put something out there.
There you go.
But no, I thought it was very funny, and thanks. The comparison between men and women is spot on.
Well, we've rewritten the show since you first saw it.
Really?
Yeah, the show's been rewritten. We brought it up into the 21st century because relationships now include things like texting and, you know, the internet and things like that. So we've added a whole bunch of stuff about that. Technically, we've completely revamped the show. You saw a very simple show with four stage pieces. Now that whole stage is filled and built out like a cave. We have a video monitor that I interact with during the show.
Oh.
Phyllis Weiss, who is our PR person here back then, came to see it, and she said it's a completely new show.
Well,
yeah, she came last night. So.
Oh, good.
Well, I'll have to come back during the run here and see it again.
Oh, please do. Yeah. So apparently, you saw the funny jokes that I wrote.
I did. I thought they were funny. There was a lady sitting behind me, and I know it's very intimate in there. It's a great venue to see the show. There was a lady behind me. I don't know if you could hear her. But she had the greatest laugh, and she would whoop before she laughed. She went, "Ooh!"
are you aware of that when you're on stage?
Usually I am. I did not hear this woman, though.
She was behind me.
Now, I read Judith Newmark, the Post-Dispatch, gave you a very nice review today.
Already?
Yes.
Wow.
And she wrote in her piece that during intermission last night, a woman in the audience climbed up onto the stage and organized the underwear and towels that you as the character throw around on the stage into a mess.
Yeah, this lead needs a little backstory. The show starts where the character has just come from a party where a bunch of women friends and he had been talking about how relationship, how we miscommunicate, men and women miscommunicate, and the one of the women says men are all, and then the A word, and he's like, this can't be right. So he creates a sacred space for himself of, you know, underwear and towels strewn around, and he gets a vision from the caveman that starts him on this journey of discovery. Because the show is about how we communicate differently. Neither side's right, neither side's wrong. We're just different. And so apparently I pushed an OCD button in somebody because she had to go up there and fold the underwear, fold the towel, put it all in a very nice, neat pile.
Oh, it was funny.
So when I walked out on stage for the second act, my sacred circle of underwear was completely gone.
It was full. It was folded.
It was folded. So I come out there and I did the first couple lines of the second act, and I'm like, hang on just a moment. And I picked everything up, and I held it up so everybody could see. And literally, that visual image proved the point of everything I was trying to say last
Absolutely.
Night. And then I very calmly took it piece by piece and strewn it back. Is that the correct? I strewn it back to where it belonged to this woman's absolute horror.
Oh, man. She was probably scratching herself the whole rest of the night.
She was looking at me like, no, you can't do that.
Hey, now, your marketing person that brought you in is Cindy Underwood. And I've known Cindy forever and ever. And she just snuck back here and said that was her mom that did that.
No!
Really?
No!
Wow. Wait, come over here on the microphone so everybody can hear me.
Come with me. We were standing there, and you came out, and I was like, what? And I looked over, and I heard my mother go, like, say a comment like, yeah, that was like us. And I'm like, oh, my God, mother, stay off the stage. You're embarrassing the family.
Wow.
She's like, they were like, we just couldn't handle it anymore. It was it was distracting. We couldn't pay attention to what he's saying.
I cannot allow this mess to stand.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't jump back up on stage and refold
while I was working.
Like, you have these three women, like, gathering and...
Wow.
Holding everything back up.
Oh, wow. Man.
Kevin, have you ever had anything in all those performances? Have you ever had anybody do that?
No, I don't think I've ever had anybody do that. I did have one guy in Las Vegas stand up and drop trow and make a helicopter.
Really?
And he was going, woo, this show is great. Woo! I'm like, okay, that's not how we show appreciation.
Yeah. And by the way, no more alcohol will be served during today's performance.
Yes, right? He had like 2% blood in his liquor.
Wow.
Wow. So, but no, I've never had anybody actually walk up on stage and completely change the prop layout.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a no-no in the theater. The edge of the stage is kind of a demarcation line. Yeah. You're in the audience, we're the performer.
Yeah, you don't walk up to the phantom and go, your mask is a little crooked. Let me just fix this. But you see, this is how deeply this show connects with people. And this isn't just, you know, PRBS I'm saying here. People walk out of there saying, I fell in love with my spouse all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's because they understand a little bit about the other person.
And it's real. It's deeply real and personal to them. So personal that they feel they have to clean up after me.
And the part about shopping, when you did the part about shopping, but the only thing was, I am the shopper.
We find that the tendencies we talk about tend to be in a couple, even if it's reversed.
Yeah. It is.
So, Dan, you're the gatherer, and your girlfriend is the hunter?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
she likes to shop, too, but I love to shop. I would take my daughter shopping all the time.
Sure.
We'd window shop. It doesn't matter. I just like to shop.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Of course, the character in the show doesn't like to shop because it wears him out. But, you know, in my marriage, I'm the one who likes to shop. My wife is the one who's just, you know, I'm on a mission, grab and go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons Rob Becker and I became friends when I first saw him do the show, and he came on my radio show several times in the long run he was doing, it was in Washington, D.C. at the time, was that there's a line in the show that goes right to me, which is about shopping, which he talks about. He says, when I need a new shirt, I go to the mall, I hunt a shirt, I kill the shirt, I bring the shirt home.
Yep.
And I thought, I said to my wife, that's exactly how I am. Yep. I don't go shopping.
Yeah.
My wife can go shopping and go to 11 different stores and come home with nothing. I go to one store, purchase the one thing I need that I know they sell in that store, and bring it home.
Exactly.
Which is exactly part of the dialogue, part of the monologue that you're doing in this show. Yeah.
And all my guy friends are like that. I'm the odd one out.
Sure.
So all my guy friends are like what you talked about last night.
Yeah. Yeah, we deal in certain stereotypes in this, obviously, because, you know, in a... In a 2-hour show, you can't parse it out, you know, and go, well, some people, and then other people, and then some, and then A, B, C, D. We have to, but the reasons and the science behind why we are the way we are is valid.
Yeah.
You know, back in primitive societies, in cave times, men were hunters. Women were gatherers. Gatherers take in the whole environment. Gatherers talk a lot to make sure nobody got picked off by a predator, make sure all the kids are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas to a hunter, conversation could mean you scare away the game, you don't eat.
Right.
So that's why science has shown that women, on average, will speak 20,000 words in a day. Men will speak 7. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm, you know, my wife wants to talk and I'm out of words and she's got 13,000 to go.
That's exactly what the show is about.
Yeah. And then you see it when we text message. A woman will text her guy and say, honey, we need a night out. Let's have a nice long romantic dinner. And then, oh, let's go see the irrepressible Kevin Burke in Defending the Caveman at Playhouse at Westport Plaza. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we can get tickets at MetroTix.com. And he'll reply with K. You like the way I did double duty on
that? Was nice. Yes, that was very nice. Yeah. Cindy actually wants to high five you for that.
Get the commercial in while doing the bit. I'm good.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious about this. You did the show in Vegas for 10 years.
Still doing it there. I know,
but you took a break after doing it for 10 years.
I took a hiatus for a
year. You moved back to the Midwest, right?
Yeah. I took a hiatus for a year. I needed to get away and work on some other projects.
Well, let's talk about what you had to get away from, because I go to Vegas fairly often, 2-3 times a year, but I don't know what it's like to live in Vegas.
Well, I think it would have been, I think that if I had done any job 7 days a week for 10 years, for 8 years, I would have needed a break. I mean, whether it would have been, you know, doing this show that I love so much, you know, or whether it would have been, you know, humping sacks of mail.
Mm-hmm.
You do it 7 days a week. At some point, you go, I got to take a break.
Yes.
And so I did.
And when you live in Vegas, the place you want to get away to is Indianapolis?
Absolutely, yeah. I got off the plane here on Wednesday, and it was intermittent clouds. It was the cool fall weather had come in, and it was a little touch of humidity. And I was saying to our technical director who came out from Vegas with me, I was like, this is fall high school marching band weather. I'm home. I felt like Dorothy.
You don't have that.
No, there's not a lick of humidity out there.
Yeah.
You know? So the place you want to go to is a place that's more normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vegas is a crazy, crazy place.
Yes, I can only take it for a few days at a time, and then I'm done.
Where are you in Vegas?
And even out in the you know, the suburbs of Las Vegas where everybody lives, it's still a very transient place because people come, people go. You know, very often you don't even get to know your neighbors. It's a difficult place. You really have to want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
When you finish the run here at the Playhouse at Westport Plaza and return to Vegas, where will you be doing the show?
At the D Hotel and Casino. That's the word the and the letter D.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Fremont Street downtown in Las Vegas. It's like this. It's like the Playhouse at Westport Plaza, where you can get tickets at MetroTix.com. It is It's a very intimate space. I will do the show here Sunday. Get on a plane Monday. I will be back in the show for 3 days, and then I'll come back here.
Holy cow!
Yeah, I know. I'm out of my mind.
Should be called Defending the Insane Person.
Yes, very often is.
Before we go here, there's one thing I remember from the show. I haven't seen it since the last time I saw you do it a dozen years ago, but I'm going to come see you do
it
again.
You're going to be stunned at what you see.
I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm not kidding. For fans of the show, if you've seen the show before and liked it, come back and see it again, because it's twice the show
when
it was.
When I saw it, there was a question in the middle that you present that makes women in the audience go, ooh.
And then
you reverse the question. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
Will you share that with the audience?
Sure. Well, you see, okay, it's kind of hard to set up the context for this, but I say, because women, and we've got new brain science backing this up that we're putting up on the screen, that women have more neural connectors between the right side and the left side of their brains. Mm-hmm. That enables them to process information more quickly. They can do more things at once, and they can think on multiple levels. Well, a man thinks linearly because men do not have those connections between the hemispheres of the brain. And so men tend to think about one thing only, and they evaluate one thing at a time. And so it comes to a point where I say, women are not hindered by logic. And the women in the audience go, he was funny a minute ago. This used to be funny.
There's usually an
why isn't this funny anymore? Yeah. And very often someone in the audience, a woman will go, whoa! And then I bring it around to explain that that's actually a compliment, because a woman is not constrained in her thinking. So, and I give the example of my wife and I went to visit some friends, and they'd gotten this couples party game called Would You.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this one? Cars with, Fight in a Box by Milton Bradley.
Yes.
All right. So our question was, your spouse is in the hospital, going to die. You do not have the money for the medication. Would you steal the medication? Of course, every guy said, yeah, steal it. Yeah. My wife said, no. And I was, you going to let me die? I said, no. Maybe the pharmacist has a payment plan. I could pay it off. Or, you know, if I got caught and put in jail, I couldn't even visit. I'm like, that's not on the card.
It's a yes or no question.
Yeah. And she was not hindered by the logic of that card. She was able to think outside of it and come up with a creative solution that, you know, the men at the table could not see.
Yeah. And but then you turn it around in the show and say, would you rather I say women are not women?
Women are hindered by logic, and we take a vote in the audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the vote will be split.
There is a lot of audience participation in the show, which I enjoyed too.
Yeah, and you didn't see this when you saw the show the you know years ago. I go into the audience and I solicit opinions from people about various things.
Oh, great!
And I talk to specific people in the audience and get their opinion about things. It's because you know what, we can all sit at home and watch TV and see great performances that cost $100 million to put on that screen. But only in a live theater situation can you actually have a communal group experience where we're talking to each other back and forth instead of just one way from the screen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Defending the Caveman was a terrific show, and I'm sure it's an even better show now, and I'm looking forward to going back there, and I'm going to urge everybody else to go see it as well. You're going to be here through October 23rd. You're doing weekends in here.
Yeah, Thursday through Sunday here,
and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for our online listeners. He's at the D in Las Vegas.
THED.com.
Or THED.com.
THED.com, yes, exactly.
But for tickets here in St. Louis, MetroTix.com. Go see Kevin Burke in Defending the Caveman. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here.
This is the Big 550 KTRS.